Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Greg Reich with Kim Skaggs on a Blog Talk Radio program, The Path Community. It's been quite a while since our last one due to some traveling and a few other things. So welcome, Kim. How are you doing?
Thank you, Greg. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I am doing very well. Thank you. Looking forward to our dialogue tonight. Like you said, it's been a while.
It has. I do my, I think we did one right after the first of the year show, and then I do a two-week trek up to Canada to teach a life management course for a small Bible college there. I get to use the PATH and the PEP and a whole lot of other stuff to be able to pour a mission vision mindset into ministry students that are preparing to go into the ministry and do something for God. So it is a really fun time, challenging time oftentimes. I oftentimes get that deer in the headlight look, Kim. So I think you're probably pretty aware of that as you work with clients and you start asking them what their plans are and what God has in store for their life and how the mission vision thing is going. I'm sure you're fully aware of the deer in the headlight look, that stunned look of like, wow, I have no clue what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the work that you do in terms of teaching and helping these students to prepare for even assessing God's purpose and his plan, it's valuable work. In these days, I think it's becoming more and more imperative that people really start drilling down and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, why they're here, because we're all here for a reason, right? And God's not arbitrary.
That's true. And I think what started it for me a few years ago, a couple of business magazines had articles in them that were all oriented around helping college students prepare for the future. And one of the things that they said that they wished would happen is that colleges would adopt more of a coaching philosophy, or even hire coaches to help college students leverage everything they are toward the career they want, because it's just an obvious thing that the average college student will take 5 to 6 years to finish their education instead of 4, and oftentimes that due to the fact that they change their major or they have other things going on that they just aren't focused on, and that we know factual-wise, it's a millennial age group, that 20-something age group right now, will change careers something like 5 to 6, sometimes even 7 and 8 times before they finally settle down into a career and retire. And so what a big need for coaches to step in and to try to bring some sort of focus and balance to these young people's lives and help them figure out what they want out of life, how they can get it,
mm-hmm.
and what their call is from God in one aspect or another, because there's just a huge amount of money and time spent on wandering in that generation. So it's my privilege to be able to be part of that in a very small way, and you know, we'll see how God expands that in a bigger way. But so what have you been up to? How have you kicked off the first of the year? What's kind of the process you're going through as a coach and as some of the things that you do?
Well, I'd really like to say that as a coach, I have all the, I have an outline for 2015 with regards to all my goals and ambitions and you know, things that I intend to get accomplished, be it, you know, getting more physically fit, to business aspirations and so on and so forth. But, you know, if I just may be candid, I got to tell you, I didn't do any of that. The main thing that I'm focused on for the first quarter, possibly into the first two quarters of this year, is sitting and being still and listening. As you know, Greg, I feel that I have a somewhat of a mandate to write. And one of the things I've felt very impressed with or compelled to do before I sit down and begin this process, and it is a process, but I think first I have to get some things kind of settled on the inside of me. I feel that I am to do a little bit of research and educate myself in some areas where I don't feel completely confident with regards to God's nature and his character. So I'm just I'm just sitting and listening and moving accordingly. That's where I'm at. And it's funny because with my coaching clients, I'll say, okay, you know, what where do you see yourself in a month or 3 or 6 or a year or 2 or 5? The preacher is not practicing what she preaches, I got to tell you.
Well, you know, I can't say that you're probably not practicing what you preach, because, Kim, I know that you know, you put a lot of effort into seeking God's will for your life and focusing on the future.
I do that, yes.
And I think that one of the things that I'm realizing is, well, let me ask you this, because one of the things that's got me on this year is that, have you ever found that no matter how well you plan out the vision and the mission, that sometimes the vision just doesn't unfold the exact way you planned it out?
Yes, very, very much so. Yes.
You know, I've looked at that whole process, and I was doing my devotions this morning, Kim, and I was reading the story of Joseph again. And I don't know why I went back to the story of Joseph. It's just, you know, it's an angel story that God lays this huge vision on his heart. He kind of shared it with his family. They poo-poo the whole process. And then he goes through this journey. He goes to the pit, to the prison, and then God raises him to the throne. And it becomes, obviously, the vision ends up being much bigger than Joseph could have ever imagined. But the process of which he got there was not even close to what he thought was going to happen or even could have imagined that would happen. And I just realized that, you know, you and I have both been doing, well, I've been doing Mission and Vision for probably 20 years, but you and I have been doing it as professional coaches probably five years or so together in the process. Mm-hmm. And I have just never ceased to amaze that there are days that I wake up and I say, wow, this was unplanned, or this was unforeseen. As much work as I do on owning the Mission and Vision, as much work as I do action steps and making steps forward, I've never ceased to amaze that God can rearrange that, reshuffle that, bring that out into a way to say, wow, that was unplanned, or wow, this is unplanned, or even to the point to where I've looked into the future and just like you, I say, I don't have a clue of where I'm going right now. I see the big picture as far as I know that God has called me in this direction, in this process. But mm-hmm. to say what's going to unfold in the next 6 to 18 months or even 2 years, I don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what mm-hmm. you know, what do we tell the, and I know you're in a similar state, so what do we tell our listeners when we look at that, you know, obviously we as coaches don't have crystal balls and we don't have it all together. We're on a faith journey as well.
Well, you know, what I tell my clients and basically what I'm applying in terms of my own perspective is this. You know, towards the end of last year, probably entering into the fourth quarter, October, November, I just started losing energy around coaching. It wasn't that I didn't love my clients and that I don't love the art of coaching. I love it, and I love interacting with people on that level. You know, it can become very intimate and very those relationships are very precious. And so in any event, I started feeling a loss of energy around it. And so immediately, you know, I begin thinking, all right, what's up with this? Why am I feeling this way? There's been a change, and it's a change that's noticeable and I can detect. It's pronounced. And so over the course of a couple of weeks, I made myself sit down and really assess what was going on with me internally. And I really felt, Greg, that some of the loss of energy was because there was a shift or a change coming. As you know, I've talked about writing for a long time, but there does come a time when we have to stop talking and we have to take action. And so with this intentionality, if you will, of me listening to my own heart and my own even frustrations, it became very clear to me that I needed to give my attention and my time and my energy to to something that I professed I'd wanted to do for a while, but just kind of kept putting it off for lots of reasons. And I had to get honest with myself and say, you know, what are you going to do with this compulsion that you feel, this, I used the word mandate earlier, that you're kind of sensing, what are you going to do with that? And so what it required me to do was have some conversations with clients and, you know, started with a conversation with myself and then have some conversations with clients and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a conscious choice to set apart this time for the first part of next year. And so I think sometimes, and we've talked about this before on other calls, we can feel an agitation or we can feel a, at times it even might even feel like a discouragement, you know, or a loss of energy around something. And sometimes that's a clue or a key to a shift or a change that actually needs to take place or transpire.
Yeah, you know, that's so true. One of the things I tell my clients and I tell my students when they start just letting me know that, hey, I can't, you know, I just can't see what you're talking about, or, boy, I'm just so afraid to move forward, or I just things just aren't clear. I just try to let them know that, number one, that God can't steer a dead stopped car. It's easier for him to steer a moving car. And so you've got to get moving somewhere, you know, and that we have to trust that God is big enough to move us in the direction that we need to go. But we've got to be willing to move forward. The other thing is, I hear a lot about being in ruts, and boy, I just got these patterns and everything else. And I just let them know, boy, unless you're in a forward motion and moving forward, you'll never get out of the ruts. If you stop, you can dig all day long and try to get out of a rut. Now you get out there and start moving forward and getting everything going. But you're just never going to get out of a rut. And we all get in ruts. And you know, I'm similar to you. I feel a sense and a need to write, but I've got some life situations right now that are much higher priority for me than writing. And one of them is getting my coaching stuff back in track. Another one is just getting some minor career changes back in track. I have really felt led to leverage everything that I am for God. And I thank God that I'm not a one-string guitar. There are several things that I really, really do well. And I know that there's a lot of things. I mean, a lot of my business clients in the past and even a lot of the stuff I've read, Kim, have really laid out the fact that most people are very frustrated in their careers and things like that, not because they don't enjoy their careers, but they realize they're not leveraging all the talents and skills and passions that they have for God. And so it's very easy to get into a one-string guitar or a two-string guitar, you know, or at best a three-string guitar in most careers. And, you know, I've got a brother that's a president of a Bible college, and he just is just waking up to some things, and I just got a big kick out of him because I spent some time with him the last few weeks, and it was just really fun because he's pressing back into some of his art past, and he's pressing back into a few other things because he says, wow, I've just let this part of me go, and he said, this is one of the skills that made me a successful speaker, and this is one of the skills that made me, you know, good at this. And what he finds as the president of a small, struggling Bible college is that he spent so much time dealing with the tyranny of the urgent, stomping out fire, and constantly being diverted back and forth by phone calls and other people's issues, that he has slowly began to realize that part of him is just beginning to waste away and dry up. And I think that we all find that in our thing. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm really making some changes, some choices. I'm expanding certain areas of my life, limiting other areas of my life, and just realizing that, like you, I've got this agitation within that is telling me, buckle up, you're going on a ride of a lifetime, you just need to be ready.
Well, and it's all a ride, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I don't think that you can call life with God boring by any stretch. But, you know, as you were talking, Greg, I was thinking about just the evolution that we go through. And I say all the time, living things grow, you know. Living things grow. And if you're really alive, fully alive, particularly alive in Christ, you're always going to be evolving and morphing and growing and expanding. And, you know, as you were talking about the guitar, what I thought of when you said that, knowing you as I do, you know, forget a 3-string or even a 6-string. You are a 12-string guitar, you know.
Mm.
And there's just, I think that we all have that potential and that capacity to grow and to share and to flourish in many different areas. But so often, you know, circumstances or fear or just mm-hmm. insecurity prevents us from really, you know, being played, as it were, to our fullest extent and capacity. And mm. I don't, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life that I would change if I could, but the one thing I don't want to do is stand before God and Him say, you know, Kim, I gave you a dozen gifts and you used 2 of them. I don't want mm-hmm. to do that, Greg, and I don't think most people do.
No, but I think sometimes, and you've even heard me do this before, you know, we tend to play the responsibility card all the time, and I've done that even recently uh-huh. with you. It's like, boy, I've got this responsibility. But when I woke up to the fact is, yes, we have certain responsibilities of which we need to take care of, but that's never an excuse to let the other areas that God has really given us a passion for to die. That's never an excuse to allow the other things to wane because we feel this innate huge responsibility toward one aspect or another, whether it's elderly parents or being a provider or something along those lines. And I think there's a balance there. We have to realize that God is calling us to a balance. He's not calling us to be perfect. He's just calling us to be excellent. And I always define excellence as E equals MC squared. Excellence is nothing more than maturity times character squared. And as we grow in God and as we mature in God and understand Him in deeper ways, and we mature and we evolve in this thing we call mission and vision, and we combine that with the character that we learn through sometimes the life of Hard Knocks, through obviously spiritual growth and things like that, then we can become excellent. And we're not excellent in just one area of life. We're excellent in all areas of life. And I just see that happening in my life. I see that happening in your life. You know, I see it happening in a lot of the lives around me that we think we have everything planned out, and God has this wonderful way of rearranging the furniture enough just to say, hey, when you get tired of self-promoting, let me do some divine promoting for you so that you can go higher, bigger than you've ever met.
Divine promoting, I love that. And the other aspect, Greg, is that when we give God or even ourselves all these reasons that we can't do something, i.e. elderly parents or we're the provider and we've got all these mm-hmm. responsibilities, it's almost like we forget the fact that God's very much aware of the responsibilities that we have. You know, we, mm-hmm. we want to reason and we want to dialogue with Him about why we can't step into the things that He's called and many times positioning us to do. You don't understand God. Really? Really? Yeah,
well,
you
understand. Well, we oftentimes view God in different ways. I mean, I think of the story of the talents where the one guy brings in his talents and has, you know, turns 3 into 6 or wherever he goes, and, you know, he's, and God says, or 5 into 10, whatever it is, and God says, hey, great job. Go for it. And the next guy comes in and he doubles his talents. And then we get the last guy who comes in, hides him in the ground. And he makes a statement. I knew you were a hard man, and therefore I did this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but the other 2 guys didn't see God that way. They didn't even say, I knew you were a hard man, so I better double my talents. They didn't say anything along those lines. They just did their jobs and went forward. And what we begin to realize is that the guy that had the one talent hidden in the ground, he had a perception of God that wasn't really balanced because there's no proof
right.
that you know that goes any other way. It was just his opinion of what he thought the taskmaster was. And, you know, oftentimes we have a perception of certain things that I do a lot of this. I was sitting in school, finished teaching some sessions there, and I was working with a student, talking to him about perspective, and then I went down to the lunchroom, and I don't often get to eat with the students, but I got a chance to eat with the students, and I began to doodle or to sketch one of the things I was looking at that was on the table, a napkin holder, and I think there was something. And I was just doing some sketching, and one of the students was sitting there and kind of watching me sketch, and I'm not a great sketcher. I started sketching, and then what amazed them was I got up and moved to the end of the table and sat down in that chair and was sketching it again. And Then he asked me, he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm just doing some perspective work. He says, what do you mean? I said, you never see, no matter where you sit, you never see it the same way. And I said, right now, there's an area of my life that I don't see clearly because I'm always hitting it from the same perspective over and over and over again. And I think God is telling me that I need to get up and move around a little bit and sit down and view it from that perspective. And it's just never ceased to amaze me that, you know, pretty soon this guy is talking to me and I'm still sketching. And I sat in five different places and sketched the stupid napkin holder and salt shaker type thing. And they all look different. And I thought, wow, God,
yes.
Now
yes.
Give me the perspective. You know, I'm seeing it. My fire takes me in a certain direction almost every time. God, let me go to a water perspective. Or let me go to something else. Because I can't see the forest for the trees because I'm still ground in a single perspective. And I know it's not the whole picture, God. Give me a bigger picture. Is that kind of what you're feeling right now?
I love that. And as you know, as you're talking, I was thinking about a gentleman I heard. You know, it has to do with perspective. He actually, God had been dealing with him about leaving his business, which was very successful, leaving his dream home that he'd only been in a year, and moving his wife and five children to Colorado to go to a Bible college. And, of course, this man was, you know, very established in his life. His children were in school. He had a thriving business, beautiful home, all of that. And when God began to talk to him about this, he recoiled. And over time, God just continued to deal. And he was out walking one night. He went out for a walk with God one night, and he said, you know, here's the deal, Lord. If you don't cover me, if I do this, if I move my family, my life to Colorado to do what I feel you're calling me to do, if you don't cover me, I'm going to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
And he said ever so sweetly in that still quiet voice I heard, do you not understand that if I don't cover you now, you'll crash and burn?
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna crash and burn. You know, either way, if we're not relationally on tracking on the same page here, it's me who sustains you.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment his perspective changed. Wait a minute, it doesn't really matter where I am geographically or even what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I yield and submit myself to the promptings or the mandates, if you will, of God. And so he picked up his family, he moved to Colorado, he enrolled in Bible school, and within 1 year, his business had quadrupled.
Wow.
And the dream home that he left looked like, you know, a cottage.
Yeah.
But I loved it,
you know.
Do you not understand that if I don't cover you now, you're going to crash and burn right where you are?
Yeah, it's so true. I was just, as you were talking, I was just thinking of how oftentimes we get so caught up in what we're supposed to do instead of how and why we do it. And I think that God cares more about how we do things and why we do things than he really cares about what. I think oftentimes we put so much emphasis on what. You know, what is your perfect will or what are you calling me to do? And it becomes this whole huge issue of what. And we fail to look at the fact that there's a whole lot of why and how and who and all the other stuff that goes with it. Because really the bottom line, you know, the ultimate thing that we are supposed to do is love God and love people. And it's not so much what we do in the process. It's why we do it and how we do it. And as long as we bring glory to God and we're doing loving people and touching hearts, it becomes a quite an interesting journey in the process because we're really all called to serve him in one fashion or another. I think that we get caught up in, but I know I do, you know, as a fire, I get caught up in power trips and I get caught up in guilt complex. I mean, I get caught up in so many things and then God has to gently remind me like, okay, Greg, who called you who and who's in charge? And, you know, if I've given you this gift to leverage, don't you think I'm going to give you an opportunity to use it? And, you know, so why are you busy trying to deal with all these things when in reality it's my job to have this stuff unfold? It's your job to be ready and faithful. And I just realized, you know, that I'm called to be a fat Christian, and that's an acronym, you know. Obviously, I'm not called to be overweight, but You know, we don't realize that oftentimes we're just called to be fat with God, and that's faithful, available, and teachable. And if we can be faithful with what He's given us and available when He needs us and teachable in all aspects of life, our mission and vision is going to unfold in the way it's supposed to, and that kind of thing. And oftentimes we just keep forgetting. That's really the process that God is molding us through.
Why do you think we resist so much, Greg?
Oh, boy. I know for me, obviously, I think part of it is that I'm just such a strong fighter. I need to be in control. And I have, and God constantly reminds me that if you're in control, then I'm not in control. And when you're in control, things just don't work. And so one of us can only be in control at a time, and you're going to have to decide which one. You know, and obviously, I learned the hard way sometimes that, you know, that, dude, I can't be in control. And I can be honest with you, Kim, you know, I want to be in control. But whenever I'm in control, they never work out to the extent that if I allow God to do. You know, they never work out to the best. You know, they always work out to be okay sometimes, but they don't ever work out to be great. They don't ever work out to be, you know, what God wants to do. And there's so many times when I've taken control and I've been satisfied with good or better when God really wanted me to be satisfied with great or you know, something really divinely godly. And it's all because of me trying to take control. And I don't know if that's part of it. I'm sure it's because I'm fire. Part of it's because I have, you know, a sinful nature. You know, I need good grace and glory in my life. You know, part of it is, I don't know, I'm just a stubborn, thick-headed mule, sometimes. If I could figure that out, I could probably make $1 million writing a book. You know, it's just one of those things that it's so hard to yield when we, you know, when we hear all the time, you know, and I even tell my clients this, you know, you're in charge of your destiny. It's all about choice, all about choice, all about choice. And I have to regroup and say, it's all about choice as long as your choice is obedient of the direction God is leading you, you know, and as long as you still are yielded to who He is, you know. And I have to constantly catch myself because I get caught up in that, you know, the power that we have as individuals when I realize that we have to yield to the power of God and like really experience the fullness of life.
Yeah, and that's where that teachableness comes in. Huh?
Yeah. That is so true.
Yeah. No. Good is oftentimes the enemy of best, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and best is oftentimes the enemy of great, and great is oftentimes the enemy of God. And I think that, you know, depending on how we want to do it, it's, sometimes it's just patience. You know, I don't know how many times when I was young and struggled with certain things, I remember, you know, financial issues. I'd say, oh, God, you've got to come through, you've got to come through. I got to pay this bill, it's overdue. And they would have to get an electrical bill. And I just remember in my heart, He just said, you know, you still have power, don't you? Well, yeah. He said, well, then we still have time, don't we? And I, you know, how
Amen.
We get so
Amen.
Ground up, you know. And oftentimes, you know, we still have things, and we still have this, and we get it. Oh, the destination, boy, this is the deadline. I got to have it. And, you know, our deadlines are arbitrary. God's deadlines look through things. And eternal realms. We just have to yield in one way or the other and trust this process. And, you know, if we're really on a mission and vision for God, then we have to yield to the guy who gave it to us, you know, to the guy who instilled that vision in our life. You know, that old Habakkuk routine, you know, Habakkuk takes these complaints against God. And he says, then I'm going to stand in the watchtower and I'm going to wait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he waits. And what we're told is that God comes and He says, you know, the vision's going to come, and when it does, I want you to write it in bold so that even a guy running by can read it and make it clear so everybody can see it, you know, because there's an accountability in that. And when you think it's not going to come, keep waiting because it will come. And, you know, I look at that and I go, wow, how many times have I just kind of given up? And how long have I not tarried because I've argued with God and said, okay, I don't want to hear anymore, I go on my own direction, instead of really waiting for that vision to come. And then when it does come, how many times have I hidden it and not made it bold on some sort of writing?
Yes. You know, the Message translation there says, Greg, that it aches to come. I love that. The vision is aching to come.
Yeah.
With regards to the resting peace, you know, in the New Testament, the only thing that I'm aware of, you can correct me, you're more of a theologian than I, but the only thing that I'm aware of we are to labor for is to labor to enter into his rest. And, you know, as I've begun this new season in my life, I have been astounded at what a challenge it is to rest. It really is laborious. Mm. Even resting your mind, resting your body.
Yeah.
You know, well, because we have such
time,
a propensity. We have such
say,
a propensity to produce. We're going to run out
true.
Of time.
Let's let the listeners know they can grab the MP3, you know, that download that and go. Let's go ahead and continue on, Kim. We've got a few minutes that we can go over. But go ahead and let's talk about rest a little bit. Why do you think rest is so hard to press into?
Because I think we're compelled just by society and culture and the reward system and the productivity that we are rewarded with from the time we're small. You know, you go to school, you get good grades, you get an A. You know, you go to work, you work hard, you get, you know, promotion, you get the salary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when God comes along and says, you know what, everything that you know about what productivity and success and accomplishment looks like and fulfillment looks like, I want you to relearn some things. You need to unlearn and relearn. And the only way that you can do that is to sit with me and be still and let me download new information into you while I am helping you unlearn some things. That's why it's laborious. That's why it's labor. That's why it's hard to sit in that place of rest. And while I have been, and I've been here before, I mean, not to this extent or degree, because I feel like, you know, the world doesn't need another book, Greg, right?
Right.
But what the world does need is whatever is on the in the inside of Kim Skaggs that is going to be a benefit to them. And it's not my opinion. It's not even my experiences. It is my ability to lean into the illuminations that I have been gifted with via the Spirit of God that will help someone else. And the only way that I can really tap into that is to sit and listen and allow the Spirit of God to illuminate those things that need to be shared. Well, when I'm used to coaching all day and cleaning my house and taking care of my family and running errands and having a social life and trying to get some physical exercise in and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's hard for Kim to get up and sit in a chair and just be still and listen. And I'm not talking about a 10-minute devotional in the morning or a 30-minute devotional, or for those particularly committed, an hour.
Right.
I'm talking about working to get your hearing acute. It is work because my mind wants to go 1,000 different places. Well, there's a dust on the coffee table, or the phone's ringing, or you know, the dog needs to go out. Whatever. So I think that.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Go ahead.
I was going to say,
well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
When we're rested before God, when we're rested, our perspective changes. Our ability to hear sharpens.
Yes.
Our clarity of vision happens. And I think that's one of the reasons why rest is so laborsome, is because the enemy knows that if we're rested and we're in tune, and we're waiting patiently, that God can speak loudly and clearly, and we're going to be in tune to it. If we're not rested, if we're in the midst of chaos, and we're in the midst of a lot of things, then 9 times out of 10, we're not going to hear clearly anyway. And
exactly.
We're going to be more worried about a lot of the things that are there. So I think that's one of the reasons why Scripture is so powerful when it says that you just really need to, you know, struggle to rest. And the reason why is because it's at rest when miracles happen. It's at rest when a lot of things take place. And that doesn't mean physical rest. You know, that means that emotional, that deep abiding, listening,
exactly.
and waiting. I mean, you may be just as active as ever, Kim, by not coaching, but you may still have a million things going on with the acreage you have and all the family you've got going on. You still may have a million things going on, but you're poised in rest because you're not taking on other people's agendas and other things, you know, people's there because you are in control of your own agenda.
Well, and hopefully when we do that, we're also aligning with God's agenda, right?
Mm. Amen. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, this was wonderful. Open forum, had nothing planned. It's interesting how we kind of move from one to the next. I hope the listeners enjoyed that. Why don't you give us some closing thoughts? And if you would, end us in prayer. I think that this is an appropriate thing at the end of this program. Just end us in prayer to let people know that they too may be at that point where they need to poise themselves in the direction just to hear that next step from God. And that if they don't have that next step, to keep on moving on and keep clinging to that last thing they heard from God, because God will give a direction shift when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Greg. And, you know, you said it at the onset of the call, that God is in control. And he is in control. To the extent and degree that we allow him to be in control. Because as we all know, there are people who, you know, I mean, God's heart and his will is that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Sadly, a lot of people don't, because we don't yield or submit ourselves to him and his plan and his purposes. But I think in order to do that, it does require us just getting still, quieting our hearts, quieting our minds. One thing that I have found with God is that when he is trying to get a point across to me or a principle across to me, he's very consistent. And so to our listeners, if there's something that has been stirring on the inside of you for a period of time, it could even be a long period of time, could even be years, I would submit at least to consider that the possibility is that God is trying to arrest your attention in that arena, in that area, to bring you to this place of fulfillment, to bring you to this place of purpose, to bring you to this place where the struggle and just the wrestling begins to diminish. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this time and opportunity that Greg and I have had to share with one another and with our listeners. I pray, Father, that some seeds are planted. As a result of this dialogue, that you will begin to water and eventually bring increase to. Lord, we're all on a journey, and we're all seeking to find that place of rest, to find that place in you, Lord, where we can just be still and know that you are our God and that you have it all under control. And as we continue to lean into you, as we continue to submit our hearing and our hearts to you, that you will lead us in the way that you would have us to go. And your plans are good, because you tell us your plans are good. So, Father, we pray for our listeners. We ask that you just bless them and keep them in your tender care. I pray this for my brother Greg. And thank you, Lord, again, for the opportunity to just share our hearts and your word with our listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thanks, Jess.
All right, my brother.
We'll talk to you again.
All right, you have a good evening. Take your care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.